Good evening, chaps. It's bedtime in Finland. It's 5 to 1 in the morning, and I just thought it was necessary. I don't know. I thought it was necessary. I'm about to go to bed, but I thought it was necessary to get up and not go to bed. I've had quite a bit of wine with Mrs. Dutton, but let's put that aside, because I do think this is an extraordinarily significant night. This is potentially as significant as 9/11. This is a turning point. Hello, Cassandra. Hello, John Fused. Hello, Charles Sees. Hello, everybody. This is enormous. And I've been saying for years, I've been on YouTube, as you know, chaps, all those of you that are lovely enough to follow me. Hello, Ray Wilson. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. I've been saying for years that this was going to happen. That if you create a situation as the authorities have, where we are this polarized between what I call the mutant left, i.e. those that are motivated by hatred and resentment and bitterness and that kind of thing, and they are able to go into a into their own echo chamber and become more and more left wing, and on the other hand, then people rebel. Obviously, if you're brought up in leftism, then you rebel against it, and so you have then the right, the rebellious right, if whatever, the people that just that will rebel against anything, that would be left wing in a right wing society, right wing in a left wing society, and you have a change in the nature of the people, which is that when you control for intelligence, and this has been the case for a long time, then this. The breeding pattern is that you will be right wing. It is conservatism and it is religiosity, and the heritability of these are quite high, 0.6, something like that. Which then of course you're going to get a change in society. You're going to get younger people being more and more right wing and conservative. Young people, 31-year-olds, such as Charlie Kirk, and then of course you're going to get people who are relatively high mutational load. Who are invested in the current system, and those people are going to be, those people are going to be, yeah. Sorry, I'm just getting lots of messages. Those people are going to be desperate for this to be maintained. Those people are going to be highly neurotic. Those people are going to be mentally ill, and what you would expect eventually is a conflict. For that reason alone. In addition, if you look at the research of my Finnish acquaintance Jani Miettinen, he argues that there needs to be a war every 100 years. There needs to be, a conflagration every 100 years, due to hormonal patterns, due to the fact that, hello, Mr. Smith, how are you doing? Do send in any questions you have. I don't normally. This is an impromptu thing. I don't normally do anything as impromptu as this, but I do think this is a highly significant. The 10th of September in America is a highly significant day. Kai Muros, someone is mentioning. Yeah, sure, but let me focus on Jani Miettinen, and the idea is there are certain hormones and hormone fluctuations in all animals that mean that you can better trick predators and better trick those whom you predate. And therefore, across time, there will be a change in the nature of the organism. And quite predictably, such that every fourth generation, the organism will be extremely aggressive, and extremely bellicose. And then you have polarization, you have a breakdown in order, you have what we are seeing. And so I don't I'm not happy about this. But I've been predicting for probably the last 6 years that there would be breakdown, and we've seen this augured. That we have polarization. This always happens. It happens every 4 generations, but the internet allows this to occur to a much more pronounced degree, because we can so much more easily find people who are like ourselves. And Hugh White Girl makes a good point, wartime, indeed. And it's not facetious. I don't think Who White Girl is making a facetious point. I mean, she makes it in capital letters and so forth, but I don't think it's a facetious point. Fourth turning, someone has written, this is precisely the case. This is, I think, potentially the beginning of the fourth turning. No respect, but what would a Brit know about a civil war? Well, we've had two of them. We've had three of them in the last sort of 700 years. So I think we might know something about it. And you could argue that the American Civil War was simply a repeat of the English Civil War. The English Civil War was the Saxons, i.e. those from the east of the country, versus basically the Celts, those from the west of the country. And then the American Civil War was the Saxons, those from the north of the country, versus the Celts, those from the south of the country. It was a repeat. It was a rerun of the English Civil War, and the Saxons won in both cases. So I would think that a Brit, as you say, patronizingly, would know a great deal about a civil war. And indeed, America, let's face it, was until quite recently, until the 60s, really, basically Britain West. And indeed, the Americans used to talk about the Anglo-Saxon Southlands and things like this. So, I mean, that's obviously bollocks. So anyway, the point is that I think this is a turning point. I was 20 when 9/11 occurred, and I was doing work experience as a journalist at a newspaper office in Putney in South London. And this chap from downstairs, in those days, there was no internet at the office. There was just fax machines. We had the radio on. We didn't even have the radio on. And a chap from downstairs did advertising, and they had the radio on, came running upstairs saying, "Oh, God, thank you, my dear fellow. Came running upstairs saying that a plane has crashed into one of the Twin Towers." This is September 11, 2001. I'd never even heard of the Twin Towers, never heard of them. And before long, we put the radio on, and this chap, he went the next day, he bought every newspaper thinking this was such a shift, this was such a change, and it was, and it was a shift from a happy time. From up to 2001, people were content, people were happy, life was going well, you know, maybe those silver spacesuits wouldn't be out of reach, to just hell. And this, I think, is the turning point where we realize that we cannot tolerate that this is an attack on all of us chaps, all of you lovely boys. Is he dead, Sister Hannah? Yes, he is dead. Trump has confirmed it. This is an attack on all of us that are basically genetically healthy people, that are genetically normal people, that are successes as organisms, or have the potential to be a success as an organism. And this is an attack on every single one of us by the mutant left, by the resentful people, by the expression of mutational load that has built up since the Industrial Revolution. And then a tipping point was reached circa 1963, where this anti-group pro-individualism ideology, an ideology where you are mentally unstable, and so you play for status via virtue signaling about equality and harm avoidance, which you don't really care about at all. You care about yourself. And what you do is you create a coalition with those who are genetically distant from yourself in order to dominate your own in-group. And you get under the radar of those that would criticize you by stressing, oh, that you are all about the marginalized. Oh, you're all about kindness. Oh, you're all about love. But you're not about these things at all. You're motivated by a desire for power, but you are too mentally unstable to play for power in a fair fight. So you virtue signal your way to power, and you manipulate your way to power like some teenage girl. And of course, you are about resentment. You feel you should have more than you have, and you want to destroy all symbols of power, all symbols of beauty, all symbols of that which is good. And that, I think, is what Charlie Kirk, 31 years old, already married as you should be by that age, with children as you should have by that age, as a person who, as an organism, is successful, And he's arguing in favor of adaptive things. He's arguing in favor of adaptive behavior. He's arguing in favor of putting things back to how they were when things made sense, for God's sake, when we were adaptive, when we were following the adaptive path of life, which we revolved over a thousand years, or certainly since the Black Death, since harsh conditions hit in at the Black Death. And that is that you are agreeable, you are pro-social, you are empathetic, you are kind to your fellow man and you care about him. You are mentally stable. And if you are not, you are certainly not proud of the fact that you're not mentally stable. You are a good person and you are group oriented and you would lay down your life for your group as our grandfathers were prepared to, or if you're my age anyway, if you're old like me, 44, as your grandfather was prepared to do in the Second World War, as your great-grandfather was prepared to do in the First World War. That is the kind of person you are. And that is what we were evolved to be until the Industrial Revolution. And even after child mortality collapsed from 50% or 40% or whatever it was, down to 1% today, it was still those kinds of attitudes that controlled the culture. It was still these mutated people that were pushed on the adaptive roadmap of life, where men are men and women are women, and you are group-oriented and you look after your people and you believe in the eternal and you believe in something greater than yourself and you keep going because your ancestors have kept going. Your ancestors have suffered through half their children or more dying, but they've kept going. And that was how we were pushed along until, I suppose, about 1963, when the tipping point was reached, when the percentage of the population, at least among the higher classes that was mutated, was so high that we reached this tipping point and we flipped over into individually oriented values, into equality and harm avoidance and mental illness. And then we start individualism signaling. We start signaling equality and harm avoidance. We start saying it should be proud to be mentally ill. Don't try and do anything about it. You should be proud to hate your country and your people. Don't do anything about it. You should be proud to be a failure. Don't do anything about it. You should be, and then people become invested in this. People gain status from this. People who are mentally unstable start to fear that it's being challenged, and that therefore they will be people who are mentally unstable create a narcissistic false self. You know, I had a paper withdrawn from a journal for saying this. Create a narcissistic false self where they tell themselves that they're superior to everybody else and they're morally better and all this. And this allays them being confronted with what they truly are, which they can't deal with, and it would make them go mad. And then those people see someone like Charlie Kirk, God rest his soul, and they resent him. And they despise him. How dare he be successful? How dare he have an attractive wife? How dare he be associated with beauty and the things that make us higher, that make us feel something better? What is art traditionally other than beauty, other than creating beauty, making us closer to the transcendent? Making us feel there is something higher, making us feel there is something to aim for. And you know, the killing of this poor girl, Irina Zakutska, on the train. She was pretty, she was beautiful. And I think that was her problem. That was why she in particular was targeted, because she represented something of which those that are mutants, that are failures, that are useless, resent, and they can feel let and they that resentment can be channeled, and it can be taken out if you remove from you, if you take out that which is beautiful and that which is good. And I wouldn't mind betting she was a kind person. I wouldn't mind betting Charlie Kirk was a kind person. And now we have two little children who are going to be brought up with no father. And we have a young widowed mother just to satisfy the resentment and the envy and the desire for status and the feeling that they don't have what they should have of these mutants. And one of the things that happens, I think, if people are a bit famous, is people forget that they're real people. They're real people with real feelings. And they happen to be a bit famous. They happen to have, often not by their own efforts, often it's just something that's happened to them in their life. Often they've come up with a brilliant idea, or they've done a viral video or whatever. And it just happens to them. And then suddenly, you know, they're a different class and they're perceived as different and they're perceived as other. But they're not other. They are people with feelings, just like you, just like me. And this is going to be... This nothing ever happens, Amalek. Something is happening, Reg. Something is actually happening, Reg. Do you want me to scream like Judith from The Life of Brian? And you can say, oh, something from the feminist there. Something is happening, Reg. This is not a normal day. The 10th of September 2025, or the 11th, where I am, is not a normal day. Not something is happening. It's bloody happened. It's happened. And a young woman is widowed. And two children of a relatively formative age are devastated. And parents, I assume, of Charlie Kirk and friends of Charlie Kirk are devastated. And anyone that remotely kind of identifies with him as fighting the same fight, as wanting the same thing, which is just civilization back, for God's sake, which is just, let's just like what it was like in the 1980s, where you could walk up to a chap on a bench in a park in England and say, can I sit there? And he says, free country. That's what you'd say, free country. That little social levity, that little interaction, that little mutual understanding that we're both English and we live in a free country, in contrast to the kind of stuff that goes on the continent and in the third world. And we can't say that anymore. And America can't say that even anymore. Because, yeah, you have your First Amendment, you have all this stuff. Yeah, great. But yo, you work for a company and the company has the right to have its own rules. The company has its Karens. The company has its blue hairs. The company has its enforcers. And you can essentially be forced out of that company for what you've said. And this is where it goes. It goes to a polarization that is so, and it will always be, because that is the problem with people that are conservative, you know. People that are conservative, people like Charlie Kirk. I don't mean people that are like extreme conservative or people that have moved from being left, very left wing to being very right wing. Those people are often highly mentally unstable and should be shunned. But I mean people that are just conservative and who are godly. Again, I don't mean the religion of the sick soul, Max Weber, whatever. I'm sorry, William James. I mean the religion of healthy-mindedness. The everyday Mormon in Utah, as opposed to the fundamentalist Mormon in Colorado City. I say that because it's Utah is where it happened in University Utah Valley University. These people are high in agreeableness, they're pro-social, empathy, they're high in conscientiousness, they're low in neuroticism, and they're high in a sense of free will and in a sense that they can achieve things by their own efforts. People on the left are exactly the opposite. And this makes people on the left highly motivated and highly Machiavellian and highly desirous for power. And that is the problem. People on the left feel they have no power, even when they do. The Tsar's men, the Cheka, are always behind the next tree trying to take back power, trying to overthrow the Leninist, Trotskyist, whatever woke regime. Whereas people on the right, they think they have power even if they don't. They just want to grill. They feel that life makes sense. They feel that you don't have to fight for anything because you're already happy. Whereas if you're on the left, you're deeply unhappy. And so you fight. Now, one of the good things about wokeness, I think, is it, I mean, is it turns all of us who are not woke basically into fundamentalists. It turns us into those that have the feeling that we are in the world but not of the world, that the world is persecuting us, that the world is destroying us, and we have to get together, find each other, and fight back. And that's what I wokeness is doing. Wokeness, I argued, I did a book on this called Woke Eugenics with my colleague J.O.A. Rayner Hills. We were walking up the hill to Wimbledon Village when we sort of struck upon the idea a couple of years ago that that's what wokeness is doing. Some we're getting genetically more and more unhealthy, genetically less and less intelligent. These things intercorrelate. And so something has to happen to stop us basically becoming so deracinated that we die out when the next Graham Hancock event, when the next whatever, hits in. And that is wokeness. And wokeness encourages those that are reasonably genetically mutated to be drawn into a death cult. So they're out. They remove themselves from the gene pool. And what you'll le and also what it does is it collapses civilization because it encourages welfare and all this sort of thing, feminism, and this of causes there to be a negative association with intelligence and fertility, and so civilization collapses, and then the sick can't get cured, and so they're out, and so then what is left is if you control for intelligence, you find this. What is left is people among the more intelligent who are highly conservative genetically, and they are resistant to us to us a culture which pushes them along a maladaptive roadmap of life among the more intelligent, those that are that are conservative, and those that are religious, which is about 0.6, something like that, genetic. And so the consequence of that is that that we would see a split. We would see among intelligent people, yeah, we're all getting stupider. I mean, we're in dysgenics, but the intelligent are the sorry, the conservatives are getting stupider less quickly. This is why we have the Rayner effect, what I call the Rayner effect, Angela Rayner, right? The left are getting stupider quicker. And so, and this would also, of course, create a polarization effect where the extremes are breeding, the right is breeding, and therefore, you get the extent of polarization that we have now and the appalling thing that has happened to Mr. Kirk, who is a martyr. And when you are in a revolution, you need to have martyrs. Martyrs inspire people. And there are some that are deliberate martyrs, like the Protestants in the Reformation that embrace the flames. I'm not saying I support Protestantism or Catholicism. I'm just saying that that's what they did. And that inspired other Protestants. It's almost like saying screw you to those that are oppressing you. We're saying we're that extreme. What are you going to do about it? And then there are those that don't mean to be martyrs. Gandhi, whatever. Those that just are killed. And we've had two instances of this. One on the 22nd of August with this poor girl, Irina Zarutska. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it. I can't remember how you pronounce it. And now Charlie Kirk. And to be fair, I mean, it's pretty ballsy to sit there in public like that when you are on the right, when you know that mental instability is associated with being left wing. And that's what he did. And unfortunately, he anger is an energy. And yes, it bloody is. Yes, it is. And I am angry. But I don't think it's a random anger. It's not the kind of anger that makes me want to just sort of, smash things up or whatever, burn things down. We shouldn't do that. It should be focused. This is merciful wah, says Hieronymus Rex. They won't do shit. Yeah. I just wonder, my dear fellow, if there were people saying things like that in 1914. Or people saying things like that in 1865. Or people like the idea that nothing ever happens is quite extraordinary. It's quite reassuring to think that nothing ever happens. But things, my dear fellow, they do happen. 9/11 happened. You may be too young to remember. I was 20 at the time. I don't know how old you were. And it had very serious consequences, and it caused very significant changes, for the worse in every way, in terms of basically freedom of movement in the United States, in terms of, I can't think of any respect in which it was positive. It had very serious negative consequences, and it changed everything very clearly and very quickly. So things do happen. The collapse of Ceausescu happened. Things happen. And this is happening. It is happening to us now. And it is highly symbolic. It is the willful and deliberate assassination of a right-wing figure, a young right-wing figure, the kind of person around whom a cult of martyrdom could be built. 31 years old, I believe. Nothing. Nothing. He's had no life. What was I doing at 31? I was a young chap with two children. Well, I'm still a chap with two children, but it's nothing. And it's appalling. And it's enough, I think. It's enough to make people think, well, who next? And it reminds me of the parallel that occurs to me is at the end, when a regime, when an ideology is losing its grip, then those that are invested in that ideology will behave in precisely this kind of way. So in England, in the, homosexuality, for example, was tolerated in England. It was tolerated. Illegitimacy was tolerated. And it was towards the end of the conservative regime, when they were concerned that they were losing power, that this gets ramped up. Suddenly, children that are born illegitimately must be adopted. Suddenly, homosexuals must be prosecuted. Like, there were various significant public cases of this, like Lord Bewley. And in America, it was even more extreme. And basically, as the conservative regime, which had been going really since the 19th century, realized that they were losing control. Then you start getting assassinations, I'm afraid. And you get JFK, and you get his brother, Bobby, and you get Martin Luther King, and you get Malcolm X, all in a relatively short period of time, as they realize they are losing power. And it's tit for tat. I mean, they tried to kill George Wallace. So George Wallace was trying to maintain the dying regime. Now, what we have seen this time round and they're going to respond to that. What we see this time around is Trump. I mean, we forget. Are we in some kind of weird post-traumatic stress? We forget they very nearly killed Trump. I mean, it grazed his ear. It was so close. And now a leading conservative commentator. So three times someone saying, God, Trump. Yes, indeed, you are right. There were three attempts, but two, they managed to nip in the bud in time. They say it was staged. Now, oh, they say everything, for God's sake. There's conspiracies and there's conspiracies. There's conspiracies and there's being silly. The more people that know about it, the more people have to be sworn to secrecy. You might as well start saying the moon landing never happened. I mean, then you're just mad. leader, not just commentator, says Welfare Beast. I don't know that much about the fellow. And somebody's just made a very good point about human biases. You're quite right about that. Normalcy bias. Yeah, nothing ever happens is normalcy bias. It's a bias that we have. We have rosy retrospective bias. We have a bias towards there being conspiracies rather than random events. We have all kinds of cognitive biases. And that is a cognitive bias. Ed, mate, get some sleep. What the fuck's the point of that? What a stupid fucking... What an absurd comment. It's 1:30 in the morning in Finland. And something very dramatic has happened. And I think it's worth getting up and talking about. And I will get up tomorrow and make sure my children get to school. And I will go back to bed and conk out. And then I'll get on with the day. This is worth discussing. And it's worth discussing now. What do you want me to do? Should I just work office hours? What an absurd comment. Silly person. What a ridiculous comment. 6,684 people imply that I should not get some sleep. I think I've got reasonable points to make, and I'm bloody making them. So bollocks to you. Right. Now, I'm not angry. I'm just slightly irked. And that is a good word. And we don't use the word irked enough. Right. So, let's go for this. Read out blue sky responses. Ed, read out. Someone's messaging me saying I should read out blue sky responses. What the hell does that mean? What is blue sky? Oh, that's that thing that left wing people go on, isn't it? So I'm going into a thing called Blue Sky and having a look. Some of the reaction to Blue Sky to Charlie Kirk's death. Olivia Hill, Charlie Kirk, Charlie Kirk died doing what he loved. So basically you've got very, very nasty people on the left. Charlie Kirk, very, very nasty people on the left that are saying that it is good that Charlie Kirk has died. I mean, this is how spiteful these people, Charlie Kirk fought to keep the Second Amendment. Now he's been killed. This is how spiteful and nasty these people are, that they are celebrating the death of... I mean, this is what the left is like. This is what I was saying. Left-wing people compared to right-wing people, on average, lower in agreeableness, lower in conscientiousness, higher in neuroticism. And they are celebrating the death of a father of young children because he doesn't agree with their views. Because remember, if you are left wing, you are a narcissist on average compared to right wing people, and you get a sense of importance out of narcissistic supply and out of being morally superior to other people. And if people challenge you, then of course this confronts you with the damaged, ghastly person that you really are, and you can't cope with that. That will kill you. That will knock you out. And so you deal with it by attacking the messenger and by trying to find some way to repel the challenge that they offer to your feeble sense of self-importance. That they are mocking the fact that a young man with a wife and children has been assassinated. I mean, dear God, what kind of person does something like that? How can you? This man has hurt nobody. This man has two young children. And also, apparently, he tweeted out about this this magistrate. Charlie Kirk tweeted out about this magistrate, this African-American magistrate called Teresa A. Stokes, who is the reason who let out this chap who killed the Ukrainian girl on basically a promise that he'd behave himself. And he tweeted that out. So this guy has done a great deal. This guy has fought. This guy had balls. And he has been removed for his bravery, for fighting against wokeness, for fighting against insanity, for fighting against clown world. He has been killed. He has been assassinated. He was a soldier, says Charles Geraghty. Yeah, of a kind. You're quite right. And this is, we cannot accept this. And this should surely galvanize even the most contented, happy griller, not gorilla, one who grills, that this is unacceptable and that we need to unite, put aside differences. Some of us are atheists. Some of us are Protestants. Some of us are Catholics. Some of us took the jab. Some of us didn't take the jab. Some of us are this. Some of us are that. But whatever cleavages that exist, some of us are white. Some of us are black. Some of us are Indian. But we are united, I think, by a belief in truth and a belief in civilization and its importance, and that you have to put aside the narcissism of small differences at this point. Some of us are straight, some of us are gay. I don't care about those things at a later date. Don't care about them now. Now it is time to come together and defeat this evil that for the last 70 or so years has enveloped us, and particularly in Britain since the rise of Tony Blair on 2nd of May 1997, particularly since then. And in America, I don't know if there's a turning point that's as clear. Perhaps the election of Obama, I don't know, if you're watching in America. But no, it's not. It's the Q. It's the Quaker question. Everything you can think of that has been destructive of civilization can be traced back to the Quakers. Everything. Everything. Absolutely everything. Now, I'm getting other messages in. Okay. By the way, Utah in general, if you've not been there, is a lovely place. It's worth going to. And it's 50% Mormon. And it's very nice. And the people are very friendly. Okay, they don't drink. Or drink coffee. Or drink tea. Sort of hot chocolate and ice cream based society. But and it's clean. Someone's saying it's clean. It is clean. I was in Utah in 2016. And I went to Utah, you know, normal LDS places. And I went to the fundamentalist LDS, the polygamous LDS places. And it's worth going to. Now, I've had a lot of questions, a lot of super chats. So I'm gonna have a look through those. So we have a question from Notice. Thank you, sir. $4.99. The left will act traumatized when the retaliation hits a pride march or the like. They are seriously plagued with fire. Well, I'm not advocating a violent, but yes, they will. Because that's what they do. Left-wing people are like a teenage girl with borderline personality disorder. They are highly manipulative. They are like children that haven't grown up. And they will do anything to get power over you. So they will be aggressive if it thinks it helps them. But then if you're aggressive back, then being weak, physically weak, frightened people, when the aggressive doesn't work, then it will be crying and tears and, oh, please help us and please don't hurt us and I beg you and all that kind of thing. We must not be manipulated. The left are arch manipulators. It's what they do. The left manipulate. The right are honest and clear about what they want to do. The left, you know, even to, you know, like openly playing for power, the left, it's covert. It's virtue signaling. It's manipulation. The left manipulate. That is what they do. And we must not let them manipulate anymore. It is allowing them to manipulate that has got to this situation today when Charlie Kirk, God rest his soul, has been assassinated. They manipulate. We must not be manipulated. Do not listen to anything they say. Max Meeks, sentenced into oblivion for warning this about this a decade ago in my book. Well, I'm not familiar with your book, Mr. Meeks, but you've warned about it. I've warned about it. Other people have warned about it, and it's now come to pass. We've had the first in a very long time, nakedly political assassination whereby a person has been murdered for being not woke. So for challenging woke dogmas, this is the turning point. So indeed, Luke Schmidt, thank you, sir. This is a turning point. Everyone should prepare for what is about to happen. Be brave, brothers, and let's not go quietly into the night. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age shall burn and rave at close of day. Rage against the dying of the light. Indeed, and Mr. Schmidt I know personally, and he should know he's South African. And that is what we are moving towards rapidly. We are moving towards South Africa. We are moving towards anarcho-tyranny. We are moving towards the complete collapse of order. And nature abhors a vacuum. And what has happened in South Africa is basically the government is no longer in charge outside of the sort of capital political area. And what is in charge is protection rackets. And, you know, there's an ex-South African international rugby player who is in charge of the biggest protection racket in South Africa. And you pay him and you mark your house with the name of his company. And then people know not to mess with you. And that's what we're moving towards. We're moving back basically towards the England of the 16th century, in which there were protection rackets. They couldn't control anything outside of London. There was protection rackets. That's what we're moving back towards. That's what happens in the winter of civilization. Large polities break up and you get new micro polities. And I hope that one of those polities is a kind of a neo-Byzantium in which civilization holds out against the enemies at the gate. And that's what's happening in parts of South Africa. And that's what's happening now, will happen, is happening in America and in Europe. Charles, 499, do you think US conservatives will do anything about this? It depends on how we react in the next few days or how they react in the next few days. Are we going to just have this ridiculous attitude of nothing ever changes? Or are we going to see this as a symbol of the fact that we're all under attack? We are all under attack. By assassinating Charlie Kirk, they attempted to assassinate every single one of us. And they would do it. They would do it from behind their COVID masks. And we can't allow this. And we must act. Rogue Thought, $2. The left shows how evil they are again. Enough, indeed. As I just showed you, sir, from Blue Sky, they are taking pleasure. Because remember how low in agreeableness they are. They are taking pleasure in the assassination of this man who has a wife, this man who has children, and they are taking pleasure in it. We are dealing with evil, plain and simple. And they will manipulate us into saying, oh, we're not evil. Oh, God, we care about the marginalized. Oh, we care about the poor. No, they don't. The very fact that they go on about the fact that they care about the poor and they care about the marginalized only goes to show you that they don't really. They care about having narcissistic supply. If they genuinely cared about the poor, they would give money to the poor and we would never hear about it. We would never hear about it. We would never know. As Jesus put it, you know, they have had their reward. Their reward is the narcissistic supply. They don't care about the people, the poor. Really, they care about the narcissistic supply. Because if they didn't, then they would give their money to the poor or the marginalised, and we would never know they did it. We would never hear about it. Nechama Gluck, $20. Thank you. This will unite all those who could not unite before on higher values. Politics are downstream of culture. Really? Or is culture downstream of politics? This will cause a permanent shift in culture and law beyond identity. The left will put up a fight and then die. I hope you're right. I'm not so sure. It could be countered that culture is downstream of politics, that the politicians make their imposition first in order to manipulate the people into thinking what they want them to think. So I'm not sure about that. I hope your optimism is not misplaced, and that this indeed leads to a significant change. This is the first. I don't remember when the. I mean, I remember in the UK political assassinations, the IRA, whatever. Yeah, sure, that happened in the 80s and the 90s. But I'm not sure when this is over. This is clearly a political assassination. Based on the fact that the person is right wing. And that hasn't happened, being assassinated in that way for left or right reasons, for a very long time. So this takes us back to the 60s, which was the shift, which was the time when we changed from conservative values to liberal values. And that and those assassinations happened because those that were invested in the system were so frightened of this change that they would be defenestrated. And so they acted violently. And so I think this is the start of that. Max Meeks, thank you, sir. Talk to me tomorrow night. Well, what's happening tomorrow night? Thursday night. I can't. I'm going on a thing called the Two Mics tomorrow night. Join me there. Professor Clifford Bates, thank you, sir. Greetings from Warsaw. This political assassination is utterly shocking, especially given he was an advocate of civil discourse. Indeed, Professor Bates, you're quite right. It is quite appalling. But I think that it potentially augurs, Professor Bates, a shift, and an important shift. And a shift that is congruous with, you know, an understanding of the cycles of civilization, whereby the conservative society collapsed. 60s, liberal society rises up, conservative society is now on the rise, liberal society collapsing. We would expect violence at that stage because of all the people that are invested in the current dispensation and all this sort of, and the fact that those people are going to be quite mentally unstable, because if you're socially anxious, then you're mentally unstable and you act and you uber conform and you act in a violent way. So, I mean, it's no consolation for the poor wife and kids and parents and whatever of Charlie Kirk that this has happened. But he is going to be a hero. He is going to be a symbol. He is going to be the kind of person to whom one should put up statues. And so I think this may be a turning point, Professor Bates. Paranke, I'm sorry, boy, 50 Polish zloty. Thank you, sir. Dziękuję. Rest in peace, Charlie Kirk. Quite right. Targo the White, $2. Charlie Kirk was not the river. He was the dam. Interesting metaphor, sir. Yes, you may well be right. I don't really get your metaphor, to be honest, but I'm sure it's symbolic of something important. Are you meaning that he was kind of holding back an explosion of right wing sentiment, or do you think, are you trying to say the opposite, that he was sort of too sympathetic to the woke? I'm not sure what you mean, sir. But okay, thank you, sir. Diogenes, £20. Thank you, sir. So long as people have food and electricity, nothing will happen. Just slow decline into the dark ages. I don't know about that. Actually, one of the predictors of a revolution is relative deprivation. Not absolute deprivation, relative deprivation. That is, there's a lot of, if you look in the historiography, there's a lot of stuff on this. Relative deprivation is what does it. So I'm not sure about that. Nimedize 9199, nothing ever happens, normalcy bias. Indeed, we have these cognitive biases and we should be aware of them. And one of those biases is to assume that everything is a consequence of a large conspiracy. It is not. There can be random things that happen. We have a tendency, if we're presented with a load of dots that are moving randomly, to assume they're moving in a non-random way, but they're not. We over-detect this so that in general we find patterns when they're there, and that is adaptive. We over-detect agency because, of course, in a forest it's adaptive if the twig snaps to think that it's a wolf rather than the wind, because if you think it's the wolf and you're wrong, you've lost nothing, whereas if you think it's the twig and you're wrong and it's the wolf, you've lost everything. So we over-detect conspiracies and agency. So, and it's true that normalcy bias, it keeps us mentally happy, it's whatever, is one of our cognitive biases. SK, 10 euros. RIP Charlie Kirk, the deranged left are showing their true colors. Well, I mean, just look at Blue Sky. As I quoted earlier, I mean, you know, rewind back if you're just seeing this. Just look at Blue Sky. It's absolutely repugnant. They are celebrating the death of a father, of children, young children, who need their father. And who will never get over this, and they are celebrating, and he leaves a, they are celebrating it like they celebrated Mrs. Thatcher's death. It's vile. Andrew Allens, thank you, sir. Why are you so down on far-right revolutionaries, though? Surely they feel a need, especially in today's environment. I don't recall saying I was down on anything. I'm down on just nutcases. I'm down on silly nutcases that have silly opinions that aren't logical. I'm down on that. But I don't recall saying I was down on what you're saying. Cameron Kirby, thank you for your donation. I will certainly struggle to sleep tonight after seeing the horrific footage. Truly terrible news. May he rest in peace. Indeed. May he rest in peace. Thank you, sir. Vahal Politics, £5. 2025 has been hell on earth. I can't tell if my tolerance for left-wing venom has dropped or if it's simply got worse. Maybe both. Well, you mean if the venom, the amount, if the potency of the venom has got worse? I don't understand that, because that doesn't make any sense. If the potency of the venom has got worse, so your tolerance has dropped for like standard venom, but then there's a new level of high venom. Yeah, probably both. You're quite right. Probably both has happened. Yeah. Your tolerance, as the more venom is put into you, you will, it's basic evolutionary dynamic. As the more venom is put into you, then the more tolerant you'll get of it. But on the other hand, then they become more venomous as we polarize and so forth. And so then it sort of balances it out. So yeah, fair enough. But, right, Tindy, $5. Are you up in Australia, are you? Oh, hello, Australia. Good day. RIP, but Charlie Woke wasn't our guy. Anti-Wokes are gatekeepers. Well, you know, you might be right about that, but then on the other hand, it's symbolically quite important. And in the general scheme of things, what I can't emphasize enough is it's important not to infight. And you can see why we infight. I mean, you know, we those of us that are on the base right have to deal with cucks. But you can see why we infight. But I think it's at this point, it will be better to kind of unite. Rather than to highlight our what we have in common, rather than what we don't, I think. Okay. Oh God, I've missed that. £5 from UK_G. Thank you, sir. And he says the left are disgusting. They know they are, and they do not care. Scarier times ahead for us, sure. Thank you for being up and talking about this, my man. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the Reverend Dutton is going to be annoyed that I'm still up, but I mean, it's 2:15. I mean, I really should go to bed, but that's the problem with living in Eastern Europe. You are 2 hours ahead. But thank you for your donation. Clifford Bates, thank you, sir. Ed, you are correct. Culture is downstream of politics. Yeah, I think AA, who you may be familiar with, has demonstrated that in some detail. He draws upon Pareto, who equally kind of shows that. Alia says, it's time for us to turn back to God. Bless you, Ed. Thank you, sir. Zachary T, what's so jarring about this is Charlie was as mainstream normie conservative as you could get. Never would have crossed my mind he would be targeted. Exactly. This is the brilliance of it, though, isn't it? This is the brilliance of it. It's not like they've assassinated Rockwell It's not like they've assassinated, you know, they've assassinated, and that's the thing. When the left gets into overreach, they go for mainstream people. Hope Not Hate puts in their report Rishi Sunak alongside, you know, Mark Collins. And then you start thinking it could be me next. It could be anybody. It could be anybody that dissents, no matter how reasonably. And when that happens, then it's a zero-sum game. You have to react. Clifford Gates, thank you, sir. Y07 should interview David Betts. Oh no, he's not. No, not for that. John Calabro, honestly, this type of evil I read in Spanish Civil War by then. Oh, well, yeah, like digging up nuns and raping the corpses. Or just raping nuns. Yeah. There's a book, actually, about the psychology of the left that I wrote the introduction to. I can't find the book now, but there is a book. Google it. You'll find it on Amazon or something. And it's by a guy that was professor of medicine under Franco's regime, and he shows this, that these people are crazy, and that's why they do these appalling things. He basically preempts or precurses the idea of the spiteful mutant. Kagith, I have a couple of pounds for that Bolla accent. Thank you, sir. I believe Bolla is American for excellent. So you know how Americans exaggerate everything. So if something's all right, if something's good, it's awesome, it's totally awesome. Something that is good, awesome. And something that's awesome is Bolla. So the Bolla is like the best thing you can get in America. So that's very kind of you, sir. Yes, good. So I shall go back to the stream. So yes, so anyway, chaps, I should probably go to bed now because it is 10 to 2 in the morning. And it's a school night, man. It's a school night. But unless I have any other interesting messages, someone said to me, well done. I don't know about what. And then someone else has said some other stuff. Hang on a minute. I'm just going down some chaps telling me stuff. Cover the main topics again, please. Please cover what main topic? We talk this basically please numerous times in capital letters. Like what main topics? I'm wrapping up now, chaps. yeah. So let's sum up, chaps. Let's sum up. I'm saying 11th of September, 2020, 2001, turning point. Right. That's when we moved from being a content and happy society in which we were positive. The society of Daria, you know, that kind of society, to a society in which we were negative. And we haven't really got over that. We haven't really got over that. A society in which we feel at war, in which we're paranoid, in which there's an enemy at the gate that's bad. And then we have the collapse in 2007, which we still haven't got over. We still haven't got over. We're living in this poverty. I was in Finland. I'm in Finland, you know, and in England, I was there last week. When I came to Finland in 2020, prices here were double. Food prices, booze prices, double what they are in Finland, in England. Now they're the same. So something is going very, very, and very seriously wrong. And they also have manipulative things like, you know, a service charge of 12.5% will be added to the bill. Evil, manipulative, nasty, lying things like that, which you don't have here. So we have that. And we have just, I think, the general process that's been occurring. This has been building up, I think, for a very long time. We can even trace it back to about 1800. The collapse of harsh Darwinian selection, the build-up of the mutants, of harsh mutation. Mutation being associated with a deviation from what we were selecting for under harsh Darwinian conditions, i.e. being ethnocentric, being pro-social, being gently healthy, being mentally healthy. And eventually those people have built up enough that they reach a 20% or so of the population, and then a tipping point is reached and they take over the culture. And we're pushed not in a group-oriented direction as we have been previously, but an individually-oriented direction based around equality and harm avoidance and mental instability, and thus covertly playing for status, too mental to play for status openly. That's what's been happening. And then we push people along a maladaptive roadmap of life in which you attain status by being maladaptive and which you become invested in a regime which promotes being maladaptive. But the problem is that this has a kickback against it, which is that it means that it's going to be those that are genetically conservative and genetically religious that will resist this. And what we find is that among the more intelligent, the big predictor of fertility is conservatism and religiosity. And the big predictor of infertility is liberalism and atheism. And so we have the Rayner effect. The left are becoming stupider more quickly than the right, and we would expect a reaction, a build-up among the more intelligent of conservatism, and which is 0.6 heritable also, and of religiosity. And so this itself will augur a kind of polarization in society, a change, a shift, and then, of course, those that are invested in the original dispensation will be frightened and they will fight back. Secondly, if you push people too far, such that even normal conservatives are branded far right, then, of course, you create, you make it edgy, you make it interesting, you create a young person rebellion against the left, which they've been brought up, which is also what we are seeing. And of course, the people on the left are mentally unstable. The people on the left are crazy. The people on the left are narcissistic. And so then you will see this narcissistic rage and this violence. And then the internet, of course, makes it even further the case. It helps to polarize us. Wokeness helps to polarize us because it makes everyone that's not woke feel like they're fundamentalists and they're persecuted, and they find other people like them and they break away. And all of this would come together in political violence. And that's what we've seen. And this poor man has been assassinated. And I think this is potentially, I know that there's those of you that say nothing ever changes, but I think this is potentially a turning point. Now, nut on kello kaksi aamulla, son tosi myöhässä, ja minun täytyy mennä nukkumaan. Ja hyvää yötä, moi moi.